Well, good evening. Thank you for coming, and I got to get closer. You guys are all so far away. We're not going to do this tomorrow. Tomorrow, everybody's up front. So plan on that. But that's all right. I know you're first time, first meeting. You don't want to get too close. That's okay. But I won't spit on you. Well, we're going to sing a song. Get started here. I think Katie's going to play for us. We're going to start with 111. 111. And this is a song of praise. Hallelujah. You know, I had to learn what that word means. And I know some of you probably have heard me talk about this before, but when I was a kid, I didn't know what this word meant. I just thought it was a fun word to say. So at my house, growing up, we lived in this house along the street that, and the street in front of us was on a slant. So I got to ride my bike down the hill towards our house. And one of my favorite things to do was to take my hands off the handlebars. And then I thought it'd be really fun to take my feet off the, whatever they're called. So I'd be spread out like this with no hands and no feet riding down this hill. And then I just thought of this word and I thought, well, this is a fun word to say. So let's say hallelujah. And so I'm shouting hallelujah as I go down the street on the bike with no hands and no feet. Well, my mom heard me say, shout that from inside the house, and She instructed me a little bit on what that word means. Because I really wasn't praising the Lord. I was just saying, this is fun. This is great fun. But this word hallelujah means praise the Lord. So I don't do that too much anymore, the bike thing. But hopefully we can sing hallelujah and praise the Lord together. So let's sing 111. Son, our Savior. We thank you that we can praise Him. What an amazing thing that you would send your Son to die for sinners, for people who, as it were, have slapped you in the face and said, we don't want you. We want to go our own way. But yet you have lovingly sent your Son to be our Savior and to give us life. An abundant life. And so we thank you. We thank you for the privilege we have tonight to look into your word, and we pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to welcome you all. This is the first ever New Year's retreat. We have a new name this year, and we've had quite a few different names over the years, but this year we got a new one. This isn't the first time we've ever had this. I don't know how many years it's been. Does anybody know? Been over 60?
It started when Jan and I was a teenager.
Okay, well that's about 20 years ago, I think. 1963. Well, she was a really old, or young, or never mind. Anyways. 59, okay. All right, well, I can't figure that out. Somebody's smarter than I. Anybody know how many years that is? 55 years? Okay. Well, so, a lot of memories. I know a lot of people have been here for many, if not all, those years, and some have, of course, been less than that. I remember sitting in the back, Kyle and Brad, their grandpa, his name was Joe Butler. Does anybody remember him being a bus driver? I would love to have somebody do that skit again. I don't remember what it was, but that was one of my best memories. He did it so well. I remember one night I was sitting right over here, and Tom Wright was up here speaking, and he was talking about the Lord coming back at any moment. And I just it just struck me so hard, and I felt, you know, the Lord could come right now, tonight. And I never had impressed me like that before. And I always thought that the Lord was going to come right at midnight at this retreat. And every year I keep, okay, Lord, this is the year. It's 12 o'clock. Okay, well, maybe next year. But maybe it'll be this year. And I guess one of the other memories I have is there's a guy named Jeff Winters. I don't know if you guys know him, but he was about 13, and he was sitting right here. And I was standing up here saying a few words one night, and as soon as the meeting got done, he ran right up to me, and I thought he was going to say, you know, thank you or something. He said, "Do you know that your knees were shaking the whole time?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I didn't know that. Thanks for pointing that out." So if anybody wants to come tell me afterwards tonight, that's what's happening. That's fine. It's been done before. But our theme this year is serving the Lord. And there's going to be a lot of good stuff about it. How to serve the Lord and how old you have to be. How old do you have to be? Do you have to be 25 to serve the Lord? No? No? Somebody younger than 13 is saying no. Do you have to be 13 to serve the Lord? No. No, we're going to learn about that. You can serve the Lord at any age. We're going to have a lot of good classes on different subjects. They'll probably tie in some with that theme. But I am really hoping that I can go to every class. If I can, because I heard a little preview of every class this afternoon, and it made me want to go to every one. So I hope you guys enjoy them. There's going to be some gospel meetings in the evening. We're going to hear good news. And it's always good to hear good news. And then there's going to be some fun activities, too. There's going to be a new one this year, and I'm excited for that one and all the other ones as well. But I'd like to open our Bibles. Tonight we're going to just talk a little bit about serving the Lord, just to give us a little taste of what's to come. Let's turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and just to start with, I'm just going to read the first part of verse 2. And this might even be in your folder. I think it was in mine. This phrase, "Serve the Lord with gladness." That's a pretty powerful phrase. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, I was thinking about the writer of this psalm, and a lot of the psalms, it tells us who the writer is. And this one, it doesn't say. Mine at the beginning just says a psalm of praise. So I don't know if David wrote this, but David wrote a lot of psalms. And if it doesn't say who the writer is, I often will just assume it was David. But I, you know, someday we'll find out who wrote it. So I was just thinking about David in connection with this psalm. I don't know whether he wrote it or not. But he says there, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And I was thinking, well, how did David serve the Lord? I mean, do you think he counseled at Bible camp? Or did he teach a Sunday school class? Did he preach in front of people? Or, you know, what did he do? Because we kind of get these ideas of, well, here's the way you serve the Lord. But I think if we look a little bit about his life, it maybe can be a little different what we think. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. And I just want to look at a couple examples from David of ways possibly that he served the Lord. In 1 Samuel 16, in this chapter we have in the beginning a story about a very important man named Samuel. And God told Samuel that he wanted him to go and anoint someone to be king. And so he came to the house of a man named Jesse. And Jesse brought all of his sons out to him except for one, David. And so after Samuel met all of these sons, in verse 11 of 1 Samuel 16, Samuel said to Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep." Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So Jesse, this dad, thought, well, Samuel surely doesn't want to see my youngest, the little pipsqueak that, you know, really has to do the work that we have to do. But that wasn't true. Samuel did want to see him. And it ended up that's the one he anointed. But I was just thinking about David and what he was thinking as he's out there with these sheep and all of his brothers and his dad and everybody, and it talks about the elders of the town are there, and they're all at this real important meeting. And David's out in the field with these little sheep taking care of them. And, you know, we don't have right here what he was thinking or how he was reacting to that, but we don't get any indication that it upset him. In fact, you know, a lot of the Psalms, I think, he wrote when he was out there on that countryside. And so it just shows a humble spirit of being willing to do the thing that wasn't being noticed, the thing that, you know, he wasn't out there with all the important people. He was doing the humble thing and doing what his dad wanted him to do. And while he was out there, he was thinking about what he was doing, because he wrote like Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So he's thinking about, okay, I've got sheep here and I'm being their shepherd. Huh, that's how the Lord is to me. He's my shepherd. And so he's taking what he's doing and he's learning from it and he's writing down some things about it. And you know that you and I can do the same thing. I'm like, wait a second. What I do at home is I do the dishes and I got to vacuum and I got to do these chores that mom and dad want me to do. Yeah, you do. But while you're doing those things, do you think there's any lessons that you can learn about clean? Or I don't know. I'm not going to make up what those things are. But as we're doing the normal humdrum things of life, you know, I think we can think about, what does the Lord want me to teach me right now through this thing that I'm doing? And just humbly doing it. Later on, a couple verses down, verse 14, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." He was the king. "An evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Saul's servant said unto him, 'Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. It shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well.' And Saul said unto his servants, 'Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me.' Then answered one of the servants and said, 'Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war and prudent in matters, a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son.'" We'll skip down to verse 23. "It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp, played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Now, do you think David just one afternoon said, "You know, I'm going to play the harp for the king today," without ever playing it before that? No, he had to practice. He had to take the time, probably out there beside the sheep, and practice and practice. And I bet it sounded pretty bad at first. But after time, he probably got better and better and better. And does anybody here play an instrument? Raise your hand if you play any kind of instrument. All right, we got lots of people that are going to be in the program Wednesday night. That is great. That is good. So we got a program Wednesday night, and we want you to come and play your instruments. And You know, you can serve the Lord that way. Just by playing something that you've been practicing, that can serve the Lord. It can minister to people, just like David ministered to Saul, and it calmed him. And the Lord can use music in that way to bring glory to Him and help other people. But when you come here Wednesday, or even if you don't, and you take that time to practice and practice, the Lord can use that. And maybe your thing isn't instruments. Maybe your thing is guns. And you just like to shoot squirrels and rabbits. And, you know, the Lord can use that. Maybe you'll shoot something someday and be able to give the meat to somebody and bless them with that. Maybe your thing is making wool, sheep, or something like that. You know, whatever it is that you can do it and say, Lord, use this. Use this for you. And that's what David did here. In chapter 17, we got that great story about that big giant Goliath. But in that story, verse 15, it says, David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Just that verse. Here, David had been with the king. He had been as the king's own private musician. What a great place he had. And he had been anointed the king himself, but now he's there at that palace and doing stuff. And here he goes back home. Now, you'd think you might say, hey, Dad, do you know who I am? You know, I'm the musician of the king. I don't have to do stuff around here anymore. But he doesn't do that. It says he went back to his father's house and fed his father's sheep. Right back to doing the thing that he used to do. And I'm sure part of it is that his dad said, David, I need some help. Can you come here and help me out? You know, I'm speaking to all of us, but especially the people here for the retreat. You know, you're getting to an age where you're not children anymore. And the Bible says, children, obey your parents. You know, and as you're in your parents' home, that's what we need to do. But some of you are kind of transitioning out of that children stage. And really now you're a young adult or an adult. And you're at a point where things are a little blurred, like, do I have to obey mom and dad or don't I? Or like, who makes the decisions? You know, I'm an adult now. I make my own decisions. Well, there's another verse that says, honor your father and mother. And I don't think we ever outgrow that. I think as long as you have parents, our responsibility is to honor them. And that would include doing things for them. As they ask for help or would like us to do something, we'd say, I would love to do that for you. And making decisions that you know that they would respect and appreciate. And this is what David did. And quietly, I think that's a way to serve the Lord. I'm like, well, that's nothing big. I mean, I'm just with my mom and dad all the time. And, you know, well, yeah, but you can serve the Lord by honoring your parents. And that's what he did. As he's there feeding the sheep, verse 17, Jesse, his father, said to David, his son, take now for thy brother an ephah of this parched corn, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brother and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Before David obeys his dad and does what he wants, it says he left the sheep with the keeper. So David's responsibility after coming home was to take care of those sheep. That was his job, and he needed to do it. So now his dad asks him to go do something else, and he doesn't just say, "All right, well, the sheep will be fine. I'll be back in a few days." No, he says, "I got to find somebody to take care of them while I'm gone." That shows responsibility. Is there anything that you're responsible for? I think as we get older, we kind of take on more and more responsibility. If your parents are like my parents, they would have given you some early so you could learn what that's like, to have things you're responsible for that you got to do. And if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. You might need to find somebody else to do it for you if you can't. But that is a very good way to serve the Lord, is by being responsible for what we have, for doing the thing we're supposed to do. And if we can't do it, we say, "All right, I got to find somebody else to do this." So he goes, he obeys what his dad says, he takes his food, and he finds out that this big Goliath guy is scaring everybody. And so he's finding out about it and saying, "Why don't people go and fight him?" And so in verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke, David spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Does anybody in here have an older brother or sister? Do they ever, or did they ever kind of say things to, you know, keep you in your place? Remember, you're down here, and I'm up here. I'm so much older and wiser than you, and you got to remember that. Well, that's what this guy does. Does anybody in here have a younger brother or sister? Do they ever just try to learn everything that you're doing and want to be around you all the time and kind of just bother you? Yeah? They can do that, can't they? And it can get real annoying. When they, you know, "I'm out here and I'm going to fight, but here comes the little brother. He's got to find out." Well, I think it's amazing that David would even go and take this food when he knew probably that his brothers would be just like, "Get away from here. We don't need your little pack of cheese. Just go home, be with those 3/4 sheep that you touch and cuddle with." And, you know, David probably knew what their reaction would be, but he did it. And he said, "You know, Dad says I'm supposed to do this. I'm going to do this." And besides that, why is this man defying God's army? He says that back in verse 26. David gets it right. Here's all these men that are scared, and he's saying, "This isn't right. We should be standing up to this man who's defying God." And, you know, the way we interact with brother and sister can really be a testimony and can be a way of serving the Lord. I've had plenty of challenges in my life with brothers and a sister, and I've probably been the biggest problem of it all, of being a pain both ways. But I have children now who I watch interact, and sometimes it's just beautiful and fun, and they love each other. And then there's times that I just like, "Can't you quit arguing? Why are you always fighting? This is the one that you're going to be with forever." And, you know, yesterday we buried one of my close friends, and I watched his sister and brother just grieve, just so heartbroken. And I wondered, did they fight? And I know they did. But I just implore you to love your brother, love your sister. Get to know them. A lot of times, we don't know our siblings hardly at all. We know a lot of other people better than them because they're just the brother. They're just the sister. Yeah, we have to be with them. But I'm talking to me too. And you can serve the Lord by loving your brother and sister. Well, David, just in these few examples, I think he served the Lord. Even without going out and preaching or doing other stuff that we often think of, he did. Let's go back to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, I just want to read it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Verse 1, does anybody have a Bible that uses the word shout? Raise your hand if it says shout in your Bible. I don't know what translations it is, but there's some of the Bible that say shout aloud to the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever shouted to the Lord in a praise sort of way? I don't think this means shouting at Him like you yell at somebody, but it's just saying whatever to the Lord. And maybe it's part of singing. It talks in here about singing. I remember being in college, and I had a group of Christian friends that I would do things with. And there was one time that it was a terribly violent thunderstorm. I mean, it was just, lightning all over the place and loud, loud thunder just pouring down, raining. And being crazy as we were, a bunch of us guys went outside in the middle of that. We're just getting drenched. And we're just singing "How Great Thou Art" at the very top of our lungs, trying to be louder than the thunder. And it was just amazing. Just thinking and looking at what God was doing. And we were probably about ready to be struck with lightning any second, but we didn't. And we were just shouting the song. And then we had this favorite spot that we would go to. We'd have to get in our cars and drive on this single dirt lane, basically, and it was kind of hidden, and get up, and it was up a mountain. And so we would drive to the very top of this mountain, and then on the very, very top was this big rock, huge rocks that are all piled on top of each other by God. And so we'd have to climb these rocks. So we'd usually head up there about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I don't know why, it was just always at nighttime. And we climb and get to the top of these rocks, and by the time we get there, it's about midnight, and we just start singing. So we're standing and we're looking down like all directions in the valley, and we'd sing and sing and sing all these songs, praising the Lord, and then pray. And that was our singing rock. And do that. Go somewhere or do it here, but do that. Sing to the Lord. Shout to Him. Say, "I love you, God." And He wants to hear it. You know that verse 2, serve the Lord? That word serve could be worship. The meaning of that Hebrew word, you could say serve or worship. And I think that's the thought of the whole psalm is of worship. You think, worship? What does that mean? How do you do that? Is that like getting down your knees and bowing down? Well, the word worship, the first part is worthy. worthyship or worthiness. And it's saying to God, you are worthy. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of us to adore you. You're worthy. And here's why you're worthy. This is who you are. This is what you've done. And you're just tell him. And you can do this with a crowd of people. You can do it all by yourself. You can just start listing all the things you know about God and tell him. It says, serve or worship the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, the Lord loves to hear you sing. You're like, well, nobody else does. But maybe not, but he does. It doesn't matter what tune you can carry or can't carry or whatever, but he wants to hear you. I used to love to sing in my car. I would drive a lot with work, you know, about an hour every day both ways, and I would just sing the whole way. And I kind of got used to that. And then I got married, and I just was used to doing that. My wife asked me kindly, maybe not do it with me in the car anymore. Which, that was fine, because I needed to find a time when I was more alone. So she didn't have to hear it. But I was thankful for that. But we need to do it. We need to come before his presence with singing. And maybe you've lost your voice. But you can sing in your heart, but sing. Know that the Lord, He is God. There's a lot of people that think they know who God is, but the Lord from this book, God's book, the Bible, He is the only God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. You know, I never really thought about that phrase before. It is He that has made us. And that's one way of just telling him who he is and what he's done. You made me. When you say those words, God, you made me, you know what that means? That I'm responsible to you. Because you made me. Do you believe that? Do you believe God made you? He did. You didn't make yourself. That's what it says there. Not we ourselves. We're not here because of something we did. He made us. It says we are his people. So not only did he make us, but we belong to him. We're his. He owns us. And we're the sheep of his pasture. That means he cares for us. He does care. He cares about your toe that hurts. And he cares about your heart that hurts. And he cares about your headaches. He cares about everything that you're thinking about right now. He cares about it. You're his sheep. And he loves you. Because of that, we can, when we come close to him, we come with thanksgiving. My wife got a little thing that's in our house in the window. I just noticed it today, I think. It says, there is always, always something to be thankful for. And the second always is like way bigger. There is always, always something to be thankful for. Always. Even when this happens. Whatever. There's always. So thank him. Be thankful to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. He is. He is good. What this psalm says to me is that serving the Lord really starts with worshiping him, with praising him, with realizing who he is and saying, thank you, Lord, for that. And when we have that on our heart, when we're thanking him, when we're saying, here's all the things you're worthy of because of what you've done, you know, what happens is it just does something in our heart. And we say, oh, I wonder if I can help this person. Or I wonder if I could, maybe the Lord wants me to do this. Because our heart is full of praise. So find your mountain and start singing loud. I want to sing some songs. I hope you guys like to sing, because we're going to do a lot of it this week. We're going to sing number 56 to start with. But I'd like you to pick out a song or two, or we'll see. So be thinking of something that you want to sing. We're going to start with 56, and I'd like you to stand if you could, if you'd like to. Come, let us sing the matchless worth. Number 56. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Let's pray. Father, we have so much to thank You for, praise You and worship You. You're an amazing, wonderful God, and we thank You for loving us. We thank You for sending Your Son to be our Savior, because we needed a Savior. We thank You for taking our sins, putting Him on Your only beloved Son. We thank You that You have offered this gift of salvation to each one of us. And we pray that each one in this room has accepted that gift, has trusted in the Lord as their Savior, and can truly sing these songs of praise. And so we thank You for giving us a song to sing tonight. We give You our praise. We thank You for the days that we look forward to having if the Lord doesn't return tonight. We pray that You would bless our time together and just draw our hearts close to You. In Jesus' name, amen.